أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله لقد جاءت رسل ربنا بالحق والصلاة والسلام على النبي الأمي العربي المكي المدني العبد المؤيد المصطفى الأمجد المحمود الأحمد أبو القاسم محمد
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وقوله الحق وهو أصدق الصادقين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل انظروا ماذا في السماوات والأرض وما تغني الآيات والنذر عن قوم لا يؤمنون صدق الله العلي العظيم
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Brothers and sisters, these four nights inshallah will pay our tribute to Sayyid al-Shuhada together and reflect upon the and commemorate the events after Ashura and draw lessons and inspiration from this great event of history, which continues to resonate and impact even today all around the world. May Allah make us among the Ansar of Sayyid al-Shuhada and elevate the ranks of all the Shuhada and all those who in this path have given their lives. Salawat. I would, inshallah, try to bring to your attention some points regarding Islamic thought in the Maktab of Ahlul Bayt. According to the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, Islamic thought, we know so that we know the boundaries of our faith. We know what we stand for, and we can make a statement, a clear statement of what we believe in and how we view things and how we practice them. What is called Chaharchub, the boundaries of our basic worldview. But to start discussion and for a reminder from remembrance and reminder for myself and all the young brothers and sisters and all, every one of us, I just mentioned something about dunya, and that does connect with our first discussion tonight. You will see the subject in this few minutes is what is our concept of this dunya, what is our image of this dunya. What I'm trying to say is that how do we view this dunya? How do we view this world? It matters a lot how you view this dunya. What kind of a place is it? What is your connection? What is my connection to this dunya where I am currently living? If this image of this dunya is a realistic one, then it will have one series of, you know, effects on me, how I live my life, and the journey of this brief lifespan. I will go through this journey in a certain way, and whatever happens in my life, I will also be able to experience it in one way. And if I have an unrealistic view of this dunya, if I have a view of this dunya that doesn't correspond to the reality of this dunya, what dunya is not, then this unrealistic view of this dunya is going to impact me a lot. It will have a huge impact on me. It's like I'm looking for examples. For example, you think of a career and you prepare yourself in your mind for it. You study and you go to college and you prepare yourself and you get into your workplace and it turns out to be something different from what you were looking for. See this example. How will you fit in that workplace? You thought it was something else and it turned out to be something way different from what you had expected. How will you go to work and what will you face over there and how will you process it in your mind? How is it going to impact you, you know, psychologically, emotionally, physically? And what will you take from there? All of that is going to be the result of what sort of concept you had about this job, this career, correct? Similarly, what our view of this dunya is, what we expect from this dunya, can the life of this world really offer that to us? The kind of expectations we have. This subject is, it's been emphasized a lot in Nahjul Balagha. It's been emphasized a lot in the aqwal of, in the words of A'immah Ma'asumin alayhi salatu wasalam. They have consistently reflected on. They have given examples, tamseel, misal, to bring it close to our imagination, what this world is really like. And evidently, they wanted us to form a realistic conception. We conceptualize, imagine and view this world as it really is. They didn't want to tell us a story, for example. They didn't want to, for example, just make us feel afraid or something. Rather, just wanted us to see the fact as it is, you know. For example, the examples, the tamseelat in the hadith that you find, one is that the life of this world is like a da'wat, a place you have been invited to dinner, for example, or for lunch. Someone's house. You're invited to someone's house for a meal. So how long are you going to stay there? An hour or two, you know, perhaps. What are they going to offer you? Something. What kind of place would that be? You know, what do you expect from that place? It could be a place, now you get there, maybe you had something in your mind, you got there and you found it to be maybe the children running around screaming, maybe the neighbor is making noise, maybe the heating is not good, maybe the cooling is not good, maybe the food they offer is not really up to your expectations, right? It's not as comfortable you want it to be, that you would like to be. But what will you tell yourself? What will you say to yourself? You say, oh God, this is not good. You will tell yourself, I'm here for an hour or two, you know, come on. It's just going to be over. In an hour or two, it's going to be finished. Just take it easy, you know, it's all right. It's fine. This is what would you expect? I mean, you have been invited for over food for a little while. What would you expect, right? Can you pick up things from there and take with you? Can you make any changes in the room, in the setting? You say, I don't want this table here. Can you move it? Or can you say, I don't like this room. Can you change the setting of this room? Why don't you change your, you know, furniture? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? How much you would care about it, right? It doesn't really matter. I mean, this is a place where you came to for an hour or two. Why would it matter really? Right? Another example in hadith about dunya is that you are traveling, you stayed just for a brief rest. Long journey. And you, weather is, for example, you know, very hot or very cold. You stay for a little bit just to take some rest and move on. Now you found some, now in this part of the world it says stay in a motel or some place. 1 o'clock at night you say, okay, let me just take a brief rest and move on, right? Whatever you found, so you can just sleep a little bit and move on. You're not going to look for the best place unless someone is really, you know. So, yeah, no, we're not. So, especially in those times where you were traveling in a desert. You'll say, you find a shade of a tree and that's it. A little bit of water someplace maybe. And go on. Or a rented place. Another example in Hadith is a rented place. You rented a house or an apartment. You, again, same situation. This house is for rent. Can you make any permanent changes here? Can you redesign it? Like bring any? You hardly can change, make any changes. It's not even yours. So in all these cases, you see that the how you view that place impacts your expectations from about it, right? What you expect to get from it. And it's not going to break your heart if you don't find it to be the perfect place. But if your view of this dunya is that, okay, I'm going to go to college, I'm going to get a job, and I'm going to, you know, fulfill my dream, whatever dream, American dream or Asian dream or whatever dream. You have some dream in your mind, so I'm going to make a life, you know, with that kind of a house and that kind of a place and that kind of a car, whatever you have in mind. And then when you come close to your dream in your own mind, you find it's not working out that way. I can't find a job. Or I had a job yesterday, it laid me off. Right? Or nobody respects me. Nobody, you know, nobody cares how hard I work. I do what I can, but nobody seems to give me any credit for the thing. Somebody else gets the credit. Or other people are getting a raise and I'm not. I don't get any promotions. So your view of this life is going to impact your expectation. You know, your expectations, if they are not real, ups and downs of life are going to bring you a lot of pain. I mean, anyone. So, one of the reasons people feel anxious or depressed or heavily stressed is because they had not prepared themselves for what this dunya really is. And then they came face to face with the reality, they couldn't accept it. Because they thought it's going to be a perfect life for me. I worked so hard, I did this, I did that, but they forgot the fact that they are not even going to be here in this world for long. All this is supposed to be for another life, not for this life. Even the career, even the job, whatever it is, even that is not for this dunya. Even that is supposed to be for another place. Because when you get to that place, as the Quran says, you know, a person who is a kafir, he's like a person who is in a desert. And he sees water. He's running after that. When he gets there, it's not even there. So it's because the kafir's view of this dunya is unrealistic. He's expecting, for example, something which cannot even be there. The nature and the reality of this world doesn't even allow it. It cannot fulfill this sort of dream. It cannot. It doesn't have the capacity to offer me what I'm looking for. So this is one huge source of depression and anxiety and all sorts of psychological problems, emotional problems, physical problems, You can trace it back to this one major issue. You know, for example, if someone wanted to find a cure or a preventive treatment for our young people and our generally all of us, one would be to just to correct their view of this dunya and educate ourselves what this world really is. Instead of lecturing each other, just to make us aware of this is what it is. So when we are talking about, you know, you go to this college or do this or do that, supposed to be for something, right? What is that something? That something is here only. There's nothing outside. Yes, I'm not discouraging people from planning for their lives. I don't mean, but I'm just saying the kind of expectations people are making in their creating in their minds from this dunya are based on how they view this dunya, because they see these, you know, comfortable dwellings, and they see all kinds of things in the media, and they see these whatever celebrities and this and that, and this thing creeps into their imagination. This is what dunya is about. Dunya, my world, my future is going to be something like this. Who knows when I'll even be alive? Who knows when I'll have the fitness of my body? Who knows, for example, even if I get there, what would it be like? It's not going to be as pleasant as it seems. That's for sure. People even who make good money or who are so-called successful, they know what they're going through. Dunya is not the best place, the perfect place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never said, I've created a perfect world for you. Where did He say that? Perfect place. Everything is great. This is the best place you can be. In fact, all signs indicate, Quran, Hadith, all over the place, this is a place of trial, place of difficulties, right? All warning signs are there, placed everywhere. Everywhere you go, there's warning signs. Don't step here, don't do this. It might result in this, it might result in that. All of that. Why? We are religious not because of fear. We are not religious because of fear. We are religious because we are realistic. We are religious because we see this world as it is. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Prophet Muhammad and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salatu was salam, they have educated us. Other people did not receive this education. They were not informed. They were made to live in an illusion. They were made to live in an illusion, in a dream. In fact, in Hadith we find the parable of this dunya, the misal of this dunya, mathal of this dunya, as a dream. This dunya is like the money you received in your dream. You were dreaming, you got $1 million. Cash. Okay. Not check. Cash. In your hands. You were holding it. And then what happened? Something happened, you woke up. Too sad. Too bad. I mean, you shouldn't have woken up, but you woke up. And you woke up and you're looking all over it. Everywhere. You couldn't find it. You can't find it. Where is that? And when you wake up, you'll see, oh, this whole life passed like an hour. Really? Be like an hour. Where was all that I built for myself? All the people, the connections I had, my accomplishments, my fame, all my name, everything. Where is all that? Very heartbreaking. That would be heartbreaking. Yeah, but if that all of that translates into something material over there, then it's worthwhile. Oh yeah, this, all of that I did because Alhamdulillah, today I see the worth of that. The worth of what I accomplished in my life is here with me now. Which is obviously two things. One is the ma'arif, the ulum, the knowledge I got, the real knowledge, knowledge about the reality, all the realities of this dunya and akhirat, the knowledge, how true my knowledge was, haq, that means how much it corresponded with the reality out there, ma'arif, right? And the second thing, the fada'il, the virtues, which in English I can't find a better word. For example, the actions you did, the good things you did, the impact of those good things on your soul, the fada'il that you were able to carry with you, the knowledge you carried with you and the virtues you carried with you, that was your heaven. That's going to be our heaven, inshallah. That's our heaven. Or the opposite, God forbid. That's going to stay with us. The material things, all the things, the illusion in our mind, that's not going to stay with us. So I'm just saying in the beginning of this because I think I find it very helpful in positioning ourselves, in correcting ourselves, in aiming for the what we want to do in life. What we have done, we can evaluate ourselves, and what is left that we can do, we can plan it in a way that we don't fool ourselves, really. May Allah bless us and may Allah help us and guide us in this path. Salawat. In Suratul Yunus, Surah Yunus in Holy Quran in verse 101, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ انظُرُ, look, O Prophet, look. And through the Prophet, of course, all of us. Look. What is in the heavens and the earth? The second part of this verse says, all these signs, all these signs and warnings do not help the people who do not believe. All these signs and all these warnings do not help the people who do not believe. So belief, simple belief, is necessary. Of course, then simple belief must be guided by reason. Guided by reason so that it becomes strong. Simple belief is necessary to start, you know. You, for example, this much sense that I have received favors. I have received so many, you know, blessings. Something similar to what a child sees from the parents and the love of the children for the parents, right? Children are small. They're young, any age, from 2-3 years to 7-8 years, 10 years, you know. See that this love that they have for their parents is building. When they were born, they didn't know these are my parents. They didn't know, even have the concept of what's a parent, right? Or any connection between me and my mother or my father. No such concept, no such idea. All that they saw were first through their senses, the nourishment they received, whatever, care, right? Then gradually to the affection and the kindness that Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam says. He says, Sababul Mahabbati al Ihsan. The sabab of muhabbat is ihsan. Kindness is the cause of love. Love is created because of kindness. Someone has shown affection. Because of that affection, a person feels this love for this other person. right? Okay. When a child is young, I mean like in the early years, he sees every day, for example, mother says, come on, have your breakfast, come on, let me prepare you some food, let me give you something for your school, oh, what are you going to do today, you know, you need any help, whatever, all of these things, it's every single moment, hour to hour, he sees this father caring for his well-being, for his health, for his education, all of that. Constantly the child sees attached, feels more and more attached to the parents, right? More and more attached. Okay, this is the beginning of his love, and love increases. If I ask you this question, does it stay this way all his life? I mean, this level of love stays this way, that it's love is dependent on these actions of the parents, that parents have to keep feeding the child all his life, keep giving him all the things he used to give when he was 5 years old? No. After a few years, when he or she graduates from college or whatever his occupation is, whatever he does in life, right, stands on his feet, as they say. Well, parents probably have retired by now. They, you know, they've lived their life. They don't even work anymore. They're not giving anything material to the child anymore. He's on his own. But this young person has now reached, his intellect has grown. He was very small, his intellect was, he was immature, right? So he actually needed that kindness to nurture this love, right? To experience this love. Now, after his intellect has matured, now he doesn't need these actions every day from the parents. Because he knows that now at that point he loved his parents because of those actions, and also because of perhaps some level of, you know, I don't know, fear is not the right word, but like concern for, you know, parents might not like something. Okay? So he corrected his actions or whatever. Now his or her love for the parents and attention to the parents is not because of what he's receiving, material things he's receiving for parents. Rather, it is because his ihsas of shukr, his gratitude, his sense of gratitude. So this love is a more mature, advanced stage of love now. Love this. My parents are worthy of being shown this gratitude. Not because they are giving me something, because they deserve it. They have this status because of what, who they are, right? This is a more advanced level of love. Similarly, we come to this world, we see these things around us, this iman. I'm comparing it with this love, because children have this leaning, in Farsi, this is a girayish, this attachment to the parents. In many ways, it's similar to this attachment, should be more to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of what you receive, you sense, you feel that you are receiving these blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these favors from Allah. This is a simple iman. Should this iman... Or for example, another source of iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, for example, fear of what? A punishment, right? Fear of punishment. If I backbite, if I hurt somebody, if I do this, if I steal, if I rob, if I kill somebody, whatever, what's going to happen to me? Whether there's a police out there or not, I just feel... So this fear is also there. But we are supposed to grow out of this level of iman, right? We're supposed to grow out of this. We can't say all our lives, oh, what are we receiving from God today? Oh God, as our Qarati says, we are testing Allah every day in our lives. We test Him in the morning. Oh God, give me this opportunity, this job. Can I have this car? Can I have this? Can I have that? If he does it for me, thank you Allah, you're so good. If he, God forbid, he didn't do it, and he'd be asking ourselves, what happened? What's this is, you know, is this is for some people, probably they are doing that. Inshallah, this is not the case. Anyone who lives a little bit in this world, he grows, should grow into the next phase. Not that the first phase is wrong, it's very good. It's all over the Quran. Quran talks about khawfan wa tama'an. There is always in desire in receiving favors from Allah in this dunya, desire to receive favors in akhirat, and is recommended. It has been encouraged. It's been encouraged in Islam. Seek Allah's mercy. You know, seek goodness of this dunya and akhirat. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. Seek the blessings in this world. When Allah blesses someone, He wants to see the asar of that blessing on him. He doesn't want you to, if you have a blessing of Allah, He doesn't want you to hide it. Enjoy it. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Enjoy it. I mean, use it for the good reason. Nothing wrong with it. He wants us to have it, and this level of iman is from these blessings of Allah too. I mean, this is okay. But Allah wants us to receive, to achieve a higher degree of iman through shukr. And that is iman which is based on a level of intellect, rushd-e aqli, which is when a person reasons and thinks about it. That anyone who has been, for example, who has given me my existence deserves thanks, right? Whether he gives me something or not. This is the fact that he has blessed me with intellect, our ability to reason and think, that I am above other creatures, that I can learn, that I can, for example, do that I do as a human being. He deserves my gratitude, my shukr. A person wants to do that. This level of being always, you know, indebted, if not a better word for it. This iman is a higher degree of iman. Of course, the more a person understands, the more a person learns, the more a person is educated in deen. One way of education is looking at the hayat and the seerah and teachings of great people, that Allah made them role models for us. The prophets of Allah, Masumin alayhi salam, they were made role models for us. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا, right? Surely for you, in the personality of Holy Prophet, is a best example. Best example. And then Prophet said, حُسَيْنُ مِنِّي وَأَنَا مِنْ حُسَيْنِ. You know, مَثَلُ أَهْلِ بَيْتِي كَسَفِينَةَ نُوحٍ مَنْ رَكِبَهَا نَجَى وَمَنْ تَخَلَّفَ عَنْهَا غَرَقَ وَهَوَى. The example of my Ahlul Bayt is like the Ark of Noah. Whoever boarded that Ark was saved from annihilation, halakat. And whoever did not, he was drowned in jahal, in jihalat. And then drowned, just like a person who, the son of Prophet Noah, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, his father is a Nabi, second father of humanity. First was Prophet Adam alayhi salam, then the Tufan came, then this Nuh alayhi salam became the second. All the continuing humanity was through him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, get on this, make a ship in our eyes, in front, we are watching you make this ark, this ship. And he constructed it in dry land. There's no sign of water anywhere. And he's constructing a ship in the middle of this dry land. And people are making fun of him. What are you doing? Are you in your senses? We don't have a sea here. What kind of a ship is this? What is this for? Based on iman and ghaib, he and his followers, of course he's Nabi, but his followers, Ashab. And they are called Ashab of Safina. Ashab in Holy Quran are not praised. Only the Ashab of Safina were praised. One place where Ashab is used in Holy Quran, Ashab of Safina. Those who actually got on the ship were called Ashab of Safina. Not those who were with Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. There were many who were with Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Those who actually believed in the unseen, that he was promised there will be a tufan, and the tufan came and they got on it. Others had distanced themselves because of their continued denial and disobedience. They had kept themselves away from hidayah. So the result was, even his own son, Prophet Nuh said, "Come, my son, get on the ship." He said, "No." He prayed. Allah said, "He's not from you." And he said, "I'm going to get on this hill. Sa'awi ilal jabal. I'm going to get on top of that hill over there, right? The ship is on low ground. I'm going to get on that big hill up there, or that mount." He said, "Today nothing is going to save you." He didn't believe. How much water can come up? How much? What can happen? The wind, when it came, it kept going up. The Holy Prophet said, "Mathalu ahl baytik as-safinat an-nuh." One who gets on it, right, he is saved. The one who does not, refuses, or puts conditions upon obedience to Ahlul Bayt. So we'll obey you in this, we won't obey you in that. We'll value your knowledge, but we won't give you khilafat. We appreciate, for example, your nice things you said, but we don't care about what you demand from us. Right? Although, when people made conditions, they didn't get on that board that ship, right? They destroyed themselves, rather. They didn't. Ahlul Bayt never needed them. They came to guide people. They cared about people, so they did what they could. People didn't respond the way they should have. This is a good, this tamseel in Holy Quran about the example of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam is a good example to understand, reflect on. For example, you'll see in the life of Sayyidul Shuhada, he leaves Makkah. He probably had a large group with him. I don't know how many people left with him. Some say 1,000 people when he left Makkah. Now many people had joined Imam Hussain alayhi salam thinking that he's going to lead this revolt, and with all these thousands of letters from people in Qum, all people in Kufa, and who he is, his connection to the Prophet, popularity, all of that, he might win. So with all these hopes, and they have joined Imam Hussain. Imam Hussain is constantly reminding them of death, that this caravan, this kafila, is going towards shahadat. Shahadat, you know. Whoever comes to ask Imam Hussain, why are you going there to Iraq? Don't you know what they did to your father? Don't you know what they did to your brother? And he said, I saw my grandfather. I have a promise I have to fulfill. His response was that I'm going to go there. And when insisted upon, he said, recite a salawat. He said, "Khuyyir ali masra'un ana laqi." A place of shahadat, a place of my shahadat has been chosen for me. Ana laqi. I'm going to reach there. Ka'anni bi awsali taqta'uha dhi'abul falawat. As if I can see the limbs of my body being cut into pieces by the wolves in the forest. Bain al-Nawawis wa Karbala. Between a place Nawawis and a place called Karbala, I can see my body being cut in pieces. Fayamla anna minni akrashan jawfa wa ajribatan sughba. La mahisa an yawmin khutta bil qalam. There is no escape from the day which has been written, decreed by God, destiny that has been decided. Some are not pleased with the destiny. But Imam said, Ridana, Ridallahi, Ridana Ahlul Bayt. The pleasure of God is the pleasure of us, Ahlul Bayt. Nasbiru ala balaihi. We are going to bear this with sabr. Yuwaffina ujura sabri. And He's going to reward us with the reward of given to those who are sabirin, who have the perseverance and sabr, who remain steadfast. Lan tashuzza an rasulillahi luhmatuhu. The flesh of the Prophet is not going to be separated from him. I am the flesh of the Prophet. How could I be away from him? Bal hiya majmu'atun lahu fi hadiratil quds. No, this piece of the flesh of the Prophet is going to be joined to him in the garden of Quds, in the garden of paradise. Taqirru bihim aynuhu. His heart, his eyes, the eyes of the Prophet will be brightened by that. And the wada, the promise that he made is going to be fulfilled through me, through my shahada, that promise is going to be fulfilled. And then he declared, Man kana badilan fina muhjatahu. So whoever amongst you is ready to give the last drop of his heart to me, wa muwattinan ala liqa'illahi nafsahu. Whoever of you, it's very carefully selected words, muwattinan, whoever amongst you has prepared himself to meet the Lord, muwattinan ala liqa'illahi nafsahu, whoever has prepared himself to meet his Lord, فَلْيَرْحَلْ مَعَنَا, must come with us tomorrow. There are people whose names have been written in the scroll, who have prepared themselves for this day. فَلْيَرْحَلْ مَعَنَا فَإِنِّي رَاحِلٌ مُصْبِحًا inshallah. Because I am leaving tomorrow morning. I am leaving tomorrow morning. Those of you who are ready to meet God, those of you who have prepared themselves for this journey. Hussein is telling people this caravan is going towards Shahadat. There were those like the son of Nuh alayhi salam who said, no, today Yazid is the ruler. For them Yazid was like that hill, that mountain. He said, I'll get on that and I'll save myself from Tufan. From this Tufan nothing can be saved. And the only way out of this Tufan is Shahadat, is to get on this caravan. Get in this caravan of Sayyid al-Shuhada and go with him and meet that fate, which has been decreed, which has been destined. This only way of salvation is through joining this caravan of Sayyid al-Shuhada. And Sayyid al-Shuhada was ready for it. And his sister was ready for it. Zainab was ready for it. Sayyid al-Shuhada gave his two sons, Ali al-Asghar and Ali al-Akbar in Karbala. He gave two sons. Zainab al-Kubra also gave two sons in Karbala. Aun and Muhammad, she gave two sons in this path. Now there was some difference between the two, you know, sacrifice. Sayyid al-Shuhada, he gave his two sons, but he has Imam Sajjad left. Imam Sajjad survived. They wanted to kill him. Zainab saved him. Zainab saved him. She did all she could. They wanted to kill Zainab, but all the children of Bani Hashim came around Zainab. Ammatu Sadat. When Ibn Ziyad said, Ibn Ziyad wanted to punish Zainab or kill her, these little children came around Zainab and held on to her. Sayyid Sajjad was left. But Zainab salamullah alayha, when she gave her two sons in Karbala, the Zainab had no more sons left. Those were the two sons she had and she gave. So the nasl of Zainab could not continue after Ashura. She gave everything to Husayn alayhi salam. That's why Zainab, her level of love for Sayyid al-Shuhada from her childhood was such that one day she was crying. And the Prophet entered the house. This little girl was crying, and he asked, what happened? And she said, I haven't seen Hussein for some time. I have seen Hussein for some time. So the Prophet went and brought Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein, as he entered, he saw Zainab had been waiting for long and crying. She slept in the sun, waiting for Hussein to come. When Sayyidul Shuhada saw Zainab sleeping in the sun, he held his rida in his arms, and he stood to shade her, protect her from the sun. After some time, Zainab woke up. When she woke up, she saw Husayn alayhi salam standing there, giving her this shade from the sun. She asked, "Ya Aba Abdullah, how long have you been waiting here?" And he said, "Zainab, I've been waiting here for some time now. I wonder how Zainab would be feeling on the 11th of Muharram when she was passing through the ajsad of shuhada, these bodies of the martyrs, and she saw her brother's body over there. She must have thought to herself, if I had a rida, if I haven't had a chadar, I would have covered you, my brother. I would have covered you. This would have been the day Zainab would have given you a kafan." This one thing she missed very much. Zainab was taken now as a prisoner from Karbala to Kufa. Her biggest tragedy was that even after giving her two sons, she could not save her brother. She gave all she could, but still she could not save Husayn alayhi salam. Allah la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّمُ انْقَلَبُوا يَنْقَلِبُوا. Oh Allah, forgive our sins. Oh Allah, make Zuhur of Imam close. Oh Allah, protect Rahbar in Ghalab and all Ulama Rabbani. Ya Husayn.